Would you welcome Cherie Frizonki?
So let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just come before you and we thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory for the things that you're doing in and through our lives. And Lord, I thank you so much for today because there are women. We're struggling, Lord. We live in a sinful world. There's things that disappoint us. There's things that we get addicted to. There's storms of this life that we go through. Yet, even though we may feel as if you're not even seeing us and that you're just peering at us through that window, you're with us, you're leading us, you're guiding us every step of the way. And so, Lord, I pray that you prepare hearts, that you prepare minds, that you fill this room with your Holy Spirit, and anyone who's hurting, anyone who's struggling would find your hope today. We thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those of you that have only known me about a year, you'll find out that many times I start to cry when I feel the Holy Spirit. And so obviously he's already touching my heart because I'm ready to lose it. Now, there's some of you here that have known me for a long time. And so you're just smiling going, I know that's how she is. So anyhow, that's the ministry that the Lord has for me. But that's not the message I have for you today. You see, I love to teach God's word. Any subject, any topic, give me a topic, I'll just set at God's feet and ask him, what does he want the ladies to hear? And then I'll just wait upon him. And so the topic today that Kathleen gave me is seeing God through the storms of life. And when she first said, Cherie, I have two topics for you to pick from. And the first one was abortion, because that's how my ministry originally started, was post-abortion ministry. And then she said, do you want to teach on abortion or do you want to teach on the storms of life? And I knew, this was almost like 9 months ago or so. I don't remember when she told me. I'm like, storms of life. I want to teach on storms of life. And so I want to ask you today, is there a storm in your life? Are there waves that are tossing you about? Do you feel as if you're a little boat on a little boat out in that huge sea, yet you're about ready to sink? What are you struggling with today? Are you going through trials? Are there tribulations in your life? Are there financial difficulties? Are there health issues, maybe for yourself? Maybe for your loved ones? Are there interpersonal relationships that you're having difficulties with? What are you struggling with? In Proverbs 10:25, it says, when the storms of life come, the wicked are whirled away, but the godly have a lasting foundation. And so I want to share with you today about the lasting foundation that is found in Jesus Christ. When we looked at this verse in Proverbs, it says, when the storms of life come. And it reminded me another verse, which the speaker just before touched on it, and it's in James chapter 1, where it says, consider it pure joy, brothers, whenever you face trials of various kinds. It doesn't say if you face trials. It says when you face trials. It's a guarantee. We are going to go through trials. We are going to go through tribulations. We are going to go through difficulty because we live in a sinful world. And because of that, there's going to be things that we struggle with. But when we struggle through that, the foundation that we need to make it through is found in Jesus Christ. Now, this word trial in the book of James, in the original Greek, means trials, tribulations, troubles, and even temptations. It means that it's when you're struggling with something difficult, something unpleasant, something that we don't want to go through, but as Christians, we're called to consider it pure joy. Now, I must admit that when I'm going through a difficulty or a trial or a temptation, my first response is not, oh, goody, you know? And I'm like, oh, pure joy, woohoo, I'm going through a trial. That is not what I feel. In fact, many times the Lord will put on my heart, Cherie, I want you to read James 1. And I'm like, no, Lord, I don't want to read James 1 because I don't want to go through a trial. And so my first response is normally to complain. Lord, I don't like this. Lord, this is terrible. Lord, this is not fun. I don't like this. And I can just start complaining. Now, you may never see me complaining, maybe. If you're around me long enough, you'll see it. But inside, I'm complaining. I'm screaming. I'm saying, Lord, I don't like this. Lord, get me out of this trial. Please, Lord, end this. And so my first response is not to consider it pure joy. I just want to give up. I want to get through it. But listen to what James goes on to say. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so you see, there's four points within this passage that God is trying to teach us that I want to look at today. And point number one is the testing of our faith. Now, this isn't a testing of our faith where we pass or fail. So don't look at it that way. God isn't grading us on a scale of A, B, or C, or maybe D or F, and we're going to fail. The testing of our faith is not for God's behalf. The testing of our faith is for our behalf. And I like what Pastor David Gusick says. He says, faith is tested through trials, not produced through trials. Trials reveal what faith we do have, not because God doesn't know how much faith we have, but to make our faith evident to ourselves and to those around us. So for you note takers, point number one is the testing of our faith, but in that testing of our faith, there's two points, A and B. So the A, the first part of that testing of our faith, is our faith becomes more evident to ourselves. You see, we get to that place where we want to give up. Sometimes we even get to that place that we wonder if this walk with God is really worth it. Have you ever been there? Ever thought, Lord, is this really worth it? Is this what the Christian life's about? Yet although we may be questioning God and even asking God, why are you allowing this? When we take the time to understand that the trial is for us to grow and mature, for us to become all that God created us to be, it puts a different perspective on that trial, and perspective changes everything.
Really prayed I wouldn't cry today. Probably Laura did too. But the last couple years, I would say, has been the most difficult years of my life. And we were going through the storms of life and so many difficult trials. And I said, trials, ladies, it wasn't trial, it was trials. Keith's dad has dementia, and I was one of his caregivers. But that trial by itself was, I thought I could handle, but it wasn't just that. Since I was driving from Temecula to Seal Beach 3 to 4 times a week, we decided to move to Seal Beach because Keith's dad owned a rental house. So we asked the renters to move, and when we went in and saw the condition of the house, we literally had to rebuild this house. We had to take out 4 walls. Now, I've heard that when a couple builds a house, that's a huge trial, you know, in and of itself. But it wasn't just that. I could handle that. We also discovered that Keith's dad, in the early years of him having dementia, when we didn't know that he had it, he was a victim of fraud. And since I'm the one in the family that understands accounting and finances and all of that, I was dealing with all the fraudsters and all the paperwork concerning that. But it wasn't just that. The recession. We've been going through a recession for about 4 years now, huh? Well, my husband's in construction, so I don't think I really need to say more. We've been married 28 years. In fact, he picked me up here 30 years ago at the Red Onion. Isn't God great?
And for those of you who have been praying for our ministries in Bulgaria for years, you're seeing how we are right now. He's always my sound man. I'm always teaching women's retreat seminars. He's always the only man at all of the women's things, and he just serves, and so he's used to this. And I always say, can I share about this? But anyhow, we've gone through a lot of recessions, but this recession's been really long and really hard, and it's been the worst. But it wasn't just that. Family dynamics are always interesting with a family who's dealing with dementia, but it wasn't just that. I also have lupus. I've had lupus for 24 years, but it wasn't just that. In fact, I found a dietary supplement in 2003 and have been off all lupus medication since 2003. So God's good. There is a natural way that you can look and find, if like what our first speaker was sharing, we can find those natural ways. Ask God, seek Him. That's not in my notes. All of that with God I could handle, but it wasn't just that. You see, there was a wolf in sheep's clothing that came into our family and tried to totally destroy our family in a way that I never imagined. And I couldn't handle that. It was too much. I didn't understand God, why God was allowing this. And it was sad, but literally it was as if this wolf wanted to destroy me. But you see, God is a good God, and I love His sense of humor. And He kept putting on my heart James chapter 1, because He knew I wasn't mature and complete. That I had a lot of growing to do. I've been walking, since I rededicated my life to the Lord about 22 or 23 years ago, I have been walking closely with the Lord, and I've grown and matured. But still, He said, Cherie, you got a lot of growing to do. So I'm going to give you a few storms that are going to confer all at once so that you feel as if your life is out of control, so I can teach you even more. And He taught me that no matter what I go through, I choose to love God. I choose to trust God. I choose to follow God in whatever trial He is allowing in my life. And so my faith became evident to myself. Are you going through a trial today? Has it maybe even shaken to the core of your faith? Yet you've seen that no matter what, you're not going to give up on Him. That you love Him, that He's faithful, even though He may not be answering your prayers in the way that you had hoped. But you know that you will never let go of Him. You see, God's allowing that trial in your life as the testing of your faith, so that your faith becomes evident to yourself. Now, I must admit, this is a good prayer. You might add it to yours. Lord, teach me whatever You're teaching me this first time, because I never want to go through this again, you know? And so I pray that a lot. But you know what? God's teaching. Now, under point one, number B, for you note takers, the second part of point one, the testing of our faith, is that our faith becomes evident to those who are watching us. You see, there's people watching us. The world is going through trials and tribulations and temptations just like we are. But they're keeping their eyes on you because they don't know how to keep it on God. They don't even know, some of them, if there's a God. But you've called yourself a Christian, and so they're watching you. They want to see how you're handling it as you go through this trial. And so your faith becomes evident to others. Do you know? Even the wolf was watching. Although he calls himself a Christian, one day he tells me, he goes, well, you and Keith, you're always telling us that you're better Christians than us. And I said, when have I ever said that we are a better Christian than you guys? I've never, ever said that. And he says, you don't have to say it. Your whole life says it. And I thought, well, I'm not about to change my life, so you feel good about yourself. You know what I mean? So people are watching. Even the wolves are watching, you know? And so sometimes we're the only Bible a person will ever read. And you know, I always pray that I would be contagious for Jesus Christ and that people around me will grab hold of what I have. And so God allows the storms of life so that our faith becomes evident to ourselves and evident to others. Now back to our four points. The second point in the midst of the storm is the development of perseverance. Now, I don't like that word. I don't know about you. The passage says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith," that was point number one, "develops perseverance." Point number two, "Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Well, I don't really like perseverance. I remember when we first switched to Calvary Marietta. In fact, I'm still on staff at Calvary Marietta. I'm the overseer of the Women's Biblical Counseling Ministry there. So I'm really blessed because I have two churches. I have Calvary Marietta and I have Calvary of the Harbor. But anyhow, there, when we first went there, we had just moved home from living on the field. And Calvary Marietta is a huge church. On Sunday, there's a couple thousand people there, maybe 3,000 people, I don't know. And so it's really hard to start to get to know the people. And so one day I'm walking down the hall and I see a flyer for a woman's retreat. And I thought, oh, this is great. You know, I could go to a woman's retreat, smaller group, maybe meet some of the women. It would be a nice way, you know, to meet people. And I looked at their theme, running the race with perseverance. And I went, I don't want to go to that retreat. Have you ever thought that? You know, you're like, I don't want to go learn that topic. And then you want to know what my prayer actually was. I'm like, Lord, you know, I don't know my calendar, but Lord, hopefully, could I please have a teaching engagement that weekend so I don't have to go and I have a legit excuse, you know? And so I actually went home, looked at my calendar right away. Praise the Lord, I'm teaching a retreat, you know? And isn't that funny? I probably really needed to be at the retreat on perseverance. But aren't we like that sometimes? Don't we shy away sometimes from the things that God wants to do in our lives? And yet he's saying, he wants us to say, consider it pure joy, almost as if we're to be running to it and going, Lord, praise the Lord, I want to go through this. I want to learn what you want to teach me because you're working in the midst of the storm. Point number three says the maturing and completing of each one of us. He allows the trials, the storms, the difficulties in our life to mature and complete us. Like I said before, I love his sense of humor. Obviously, he knew I wasn't mature and complete. Obviously, he knew I had growing to do. So in his love, he gave me all of these trials to go through so that I could grow, so that I could mature, so that I could become the woman he created me to be. And he's allowed it in your life too. And that's point number three. Point number four is so that we don't lack anything, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. But you see, there was something I was lacking. There was something that I lost along the way. There was something that had fallen overboard when I was going through the storms of life. And I knew it. I had lost my joy. And it was something that was very precious and something that I missed. And it was hugely missed. And every day I would pray, Lord, please give me back my joy. Help me, Lord. And you know what is the most amazing thing that I still stand in awe of was during this time where I had lost my joy for a couple months, was every morning I woke up with a praise song in my heart. And the praise song said, joy, unspeakable joy, resounding in my soul, never let you go. And I would wake up singing that, going, Lord, but I know I'm supposed to have this joy in my heart, but I've lost it, Lord. Please, I want it again. Where is it? How do I get it back? Teach me a simple principle that I will never lose my joy again. And you know, it was Christmas time, and everywhere I went, there would be these huge signs, joy! And in my heart, I'd be like screaming, I know it! I know it's lost! I can't find it! Where is it? And that song every morning, joy, unspeakable joy. Well, many years ago, in fact, over 20 years ago, God had taught me a simple principle of always keeping peace in my heart. And I started asking the Lord, Lord, please teach me that principle of keeping that joy in my heart. Where is it? What is it? And the principle for peace is found in both of the books that will be back there. That's why they're titled Go in Peace. They're based on the sinful woman in Luke chapter 7, where Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And I found many years ago that to always have peace in my life is the moment I lose my peace, I need to go kneel before the Lord and pray Psalms 139, 23, and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. You see, when we come before the Lord, when our peace is missing within our heart, and we do, just like 1 John 1:9 says, confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And at that moment, you will have your peace back. That's how easy it is. That's how easy it is to have God's peace. And I've had his peace for over 20 years by following his simple principle found in his word. And so I was asking, I was begging, Lord, please teach me a principle for joy. And he was faithful. He did. There was one morning we were at a missions conference, and I don't even know who was speaking. I don't even know what he was speaking on. But all of a sudden, God spoke to me, and he said, Cherie, joy is found in the niche. And you see, our foundation, when we go through the storms of life, needs to be in Jesus Christ. And it also needs to be in who we are in Christ. You see, God created you for a specific purpose. You are his work of art. You are his masterpiece. You were knit together in your mother's womb for a specific purpose, a call on your life. The call that you have, the call that I have, is different, but each one is unique, and there's a job that he has that you're to be busy about. And when we are busy about doing the thing that God created us to do, we will find that joy no matter what is going on in our life. You see, no matter what the storm is, no matter how overwhelming it may be, we need to focus not on the storm, but upon Jesus Christ and upon who we are in Christ. You see, Peter, remember the story of Peter when he wanted to go out and walk on the water like Jesus Christ? And he, at first, was walking on the water when he had his eyes on Jesus. But the moment that he put his eyes on the storm, listen what happens in Matthew 14:30. But when Peter saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. You see, when Peter put his focus on the storm, he sank. When I had my eyes on the storm, I sank. When I was like consumed with what was happening within my family and the disappointments that we were going through, and to see a precious family divided and destroyed because of a wolf, I took my eyes off of Jesus and I put it on the storm and I lost my joy. But if we will put our eyes on Christ and who we are in Christ and who he created us to be, we can walk with Christ through the storm, and we can even walk on the waters.
So what storm seems to be overwhelming in your life? I want to encourage you that if the storm seems overwhelming, then ask God, who are you? Who did he create you to be? You see, for me, I know that he created me to teach his word. I know it. It's my favorite gift. I love to teach. I love to teach one-on-one. I love to write. And so instead of being focused on the storm, when a storm would come, what I needed to do was run to my office, turn on my computer, and start writing so that I could be focused on Christ, because that's who he created me to be. Now the storm hasn't gone away. The waters are still rough. The wolf now lives down the street. In fact, he came knocking on my door yesterday because the enemy wanted to get me off focus of what was to be shared with you. And so I got in the car and I ran down here and I said, Gilda, I need prayer. Keith's dad still has dementia. We're still dealing with the aftermath of fraud. The house is almost finished, but it needs a lot of work. The recession, need I say more? The storms hasn't left. But what has changed is my perspective in staying focused, because joy is found in the niche. And I grew and I matured and I learned the things that God was trying to teach me. He wants to teach you things in the storm. And he wants to teach you that the foundation is found in Jesus Christ and in who you are. In closing, Romans 11:29 says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have at least one gift, probably more. And his gift and his call are irrevocable. What's the call God has on your life? 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, now about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. Yet many times we are very ignorant of the giftings God has for us. If you don't know what your giftings are, I encourage you to ask your Christian friends, what gifts do you see in my life? Or get Pastor Chuck's book, Living Water, and learn about the gifts. Is it a speaking gift? Do you have the gift of teaching, the gift of evangelism, the gift of exhortation, the gift of encouragement? If you're in the midst of the storm and you feel like it's overtaking you and the waves are too big and you're sinking and your eyes are on the storm, I encourage you to go and do something concerning your gift, because joy is found in the niche. And you can find that joy in the trial by doing what God has called you to do. Now, you may say, I think I have the gift of teaching, but I don't get the opportunity to teach like she does. You know what? Go write a blog. Go start a blog. Go start teaching people through a blog. And you can use Facebook for good. There's people here that came because of Facebook, and I don't mean anything disrespectful. A lot of people really are, I counsel teens, and I know how destructive it is. It can be addictive, but we can also use it for God's good. And I know people came today just because they heard about it on Facebook. And so I ask you, go say, hey, redirect people to a blog so that they can learn about Jesus Christ and what he wants to do in their life. And through that, you're able to be focused on what God called you. Is your gift in the serving gifts? Do you have the gift of servanthood, mercy, faith, giving, leadership, administration, hospitality? Then go and do that. Ask God to give you ways to do that. Proverbs 10:25 again. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone. There's hope. The wicked, the wolf's gonna be gone at some point. But the righteous stand firm. That's the testing of our faith through the storm, to prove to us that we will stand firm forever, because nothing can shake our foundation. Romans 8:38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life. Did you get that? Nor life. Nor the storms of life, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we just come before you and we thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory for everything. And Lord, if there are any here that are struggling through the storms of life, Lord, I pray that they would take their eyes off the waves, take their eyes off the storm, and put their eyes on you and the foundation of you, and learn who they are in Christ and who you've created them to be and why you gave them life, and let them just find their call in their life so that they can stay focused on that. Lord, I lift up the women with all the issues that were talked about today, the addictions. Lord, help set women free, that they would be set free from these things that are addictive, because Facebook is addictive. All of that is addictive. Twitter's addictive. I can't believe people are on there for hours all day long. Lord, we pray that you would set people free. And Lord, I pray for the disappointments, that you would help the women to get hope from you. And Lord, the trials, let us look at them with joy because of the work that you want to do in our lives. We thank you. We praise you. We give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.